Couch begins now. And we were, you know, we got so in-depth into that trip to Brazil that the Packers aren't taking during the 9 o'clock hour that we never got to a little game we like to call Did You Hear This? The David Bakhtiari edition. Now, we talked to David on Friday. And you'll be reading about what he said in the Wisconsin State Journal tomorrow.
Double dip.
Double dip.
And do some transcribing first. But there was some really interesting stuff there. Now, before we play him, Tausch, I did get asked a question, so I want to warn you because I want to get to this after we play a little of what he said. But I was asked a question because there's some chatter, internet chatter, about him and a injury grievance and whether or not he could recoup some of the money, pay that man his money, for this year's contract. Because as we talked about weeks ago, he can't pass a physical right now.
No.
And they cut him. And so what are the ramifications of that? So we'll get into that a little bit later. I want folks to hear, if you didn't hear him, you can find the full interview on Wisconsin On Demand. You can find it on Spotify. You could probably fast forward around on YouTube and find it as well. It was in the 11 o'clock hour of Friday's show. But I thought it was interesting how he talked about his injury and the frustration there was in the building. And here is that portion of the conversation.
Everyone understood. It was just like, I don't think they understood like the magnitude. And I think some information probably was displayed not properly. So I think it was more of a miscommunication. I don't think anyone understands, you know, the magnitude of the surgery that I had and the fact I was non-weight bearing for 8 weeks. And then, you know, just kind of coming back and kind of not really, it's like being welcome, but not at the same time is the best way to describe it. And then I'm like, well, okay, and this guy, I'm understanding, you know, I guess my girlfriend moved on. Okay, that's fine. But like, I'm an adult. We can have a conversation about it.
So when he says being welcome, but not really, what does that mean to you? Because that, when in real time, I believe I gave you a look as he said that, because we were in studio together, which really makes for great radio when you and I are in the same place. What did you make of that?
So I think one of the things when you get injured is you want to still feel as much of a part of it, but you're not. And you want, you know, I think there's also, you start kind of thinking things in your own head. And it's that much easier to validate those thoughts when you see a couple of things go. Maybe I've been treated so great when I'm the starter and when, oh, everybody will do whatever it is that I'll do it. And then you become a back burner guy where it's you're not really worried about it because you're not helping the immediacy of the team. And then you start thinking, well, I know this is my last time here. So you're going to – everything is – I guess hyperinflated in your head as far as, well, you know, I didn't get an ice bag right away, or I didn't get my treatment right away.
So you see everything as a slight?
You do. No, you do. And sometimes it's not accurate, but it doesn't matter because that's the perception of how you have it. Now, there's also, you know, things that happen that aren't slights. It's just the reality that, hey, you're not one of the guys lacing them up and going out and playing, and you're not as involved. So for as much as you can go to meetings and do, you always are trying to do whatever you can to help the team win, regardless. But when you're injured, there is an isolation to it that I can't really describe to people until you're there. And when you see that and then also see that the end of your time in Green Bay is more than likely, you're going to feel the way that David felt.
How did you handle that? Because you're talking from experience.
Yeah, no, it's the same thing. You want to be involved. You want to help, but you know you're just not – you're not having this – you get into this because you want to be impactful. You want to make a good living, and you want to help win. You want to do all this stuff. And while you're still doing it to the degree that you can, there is a part of you that there's not a lot – there's not much you can do. And then when you have somebody in the front office or in the training room or in the locker room, it doesn't matter. Little things that normally would never bother you will bother you because you have more time to kind of think about it. You're sitting there in a swimming pool doing rehab. You're doing rehab on a table. You're doing this. And unfortunately, your mind can go places where, you know, they're going to go. And that's why I always say Flea and those guys, for as much as they're, you know, physically they're getting you back, you know, if it's mobility and trying to get your muscles back to where they need to be and you get to run and all that stuff, it's probably 10 times more important to keep the mentals up. That was why I appreciate what Mark Lavotte did, what Flea did. What those guys did is because it wasn't just, all right, go in and hit 50 squats. It was also, hey, man, I'm not having a day. And they'd sit, and that's why I love those guys, because they were there for me in times where I needed it and I could speak to. And I saw Jordy Nelson when he got inducted in the Packer Hall of Fame. Who spoke?
And Nate Weir introduced
Flea.
Him. Yeah.
Nate Weir. You have those same – they're important pieces to the whole puzzle. And I just think David understood that and saw that, and that is a part of his rehab, just like it was for every other player that goes through that.
Do you agree that because of the way, you know, LaFleur, we talked about it with him when we were talking with him, you know, the way LaFleur showed his frustration publicly, right, and didn't seem to know what was going on, like David saying that he was non-weight-bearing for 8 weeks, I would tell you that it was not articulated publicly very well by him or by the organization or whomever of how invasive the surgery was, right? Because we went from him playing in the opener and then this kind of several weeks of not knowing what exactly was going on and no one really being very clear about it, to then you're telling me that this surgery that he eventually underwent in November was so invasive that he was on crutches for 8 weeks. That's what that means. And not able to walk at all on it. That's a big surgery then, and I don't know if we ever knew that it was that severe.
No, and it's none of our business, but it is Matt LaFleur's business. And I think the frustrating part for him was, you know, he has already went through this whole process of not practicing and missing a bunch of training camp and still counting on him to play. I think coaches, they obviously want their best players playing. But what they don't want to have is a ton of uncertainty. Matt LaFleur he never knew because, well, he didn't practice Thursday. What does that mean? Well, I don't know. He's not practicing Friday. What does that mean? I don't know. And then Saturday night comes, and you're like, I don't think he's going to play. And okay, well, these guys got this reps, but do you call a game differently? Do you know, he's a great player. And even in the game he played well. The frustration came from the unknown, and I think what we heard in that interview, and I'm not going to speak for David. He had a chance to speak for himself. I think there was a lot of miscommunication, and I don't know how much trust there was between all of the departments as far as how they handled his injury, and I don't know about it from their perspective, how they feel in the same respect. And when you have all that, then you have, well, I'm not going to tell you this. I'm not going to talk about this. I'll practice when I can, and I'll play when I can. That's not tenable. It wasn't tenable. And when I heard LaFleur say what he said on that Wednesday, is, you know, you saw the frustration bubble, that's when I knew bad things were on the horizon. Because he loves David Bakhtiari as a player, there's no doubt. I think he just was incredibly frustrated because he felt like, this is not helpful for this football team to have all of this uncertainty.
All right, let's play the other two clips in the next segment. But let me ask you this then, to put a bow on the injury part of the conversation. The idea that he has a grievance that he could potentially file, and I know that word carries a certain connotation. I don't know if he feels aggrieved by the team, but the point of the matter is, he would have to argue, I was looking this up on the NFLPA website because Jen Gabe and Chewy wanted to talk about it this morning, and that they're not signing maybe free agents because they feel like they're going to lose some cap space if they were to lose this grievance and have to pay out his salary for this season. But it, the actual injury itself traces back to December 31st, 2020, but he could argue, since he did play in a game last season, that there was an aggravation or whatever it might have been in the Bears game, and that led to this surgery. You, having been an NFLPA rep, where does this kind of go, and how long will we be in limbo for how long it'll take before this is decided, whether or not the Packers owe him? Because it's not just the money that they would be paying him, that he'd be getting from the Packers. It would also be how it affects their cap space.
Yeah, so this is two CBAs ago, is the only thing I can go off of. And in essence, if you had 3 years on your deal and you had a monster injury in year one of that 3 year deal and you were not able to pass a physical or play, you don't get your full salary. You would get a percentage up to, I think at that point in time, it was up to $2 million. And then the third year, it's a little bit less. It's, again, if you can't pass a physical from that injury, you are entitled, but it was not salary cap adjacent. It was just you were okay. Getting it. I think it was through the insurance company and whatnot. I don't know what the next CBA entailed. I know owners were very irritated with that because it felt like, I think some owners thought that guys would sign 2 and 3 year deals, and that's why you saw more 1 and 2 year contracts at the back end of guys' careers, because if you get hurt and you're not going to rehab it, you could just say, well, I can't play, you owe me for this, and you know, David's making 20-some million or supposed to. He won't get anywhere near that. But my guess, especially if there's salary cap ramifications, which I don't know, you'll have to do that research.
Yeah, I will.
My guess would be there'll be a settlement that will, you know, make everybody whole. And then hopefully, in David's case, as he mentioned with us Friday, if he's able to, I think he would love to get back out there and play.
Mm-hmm.
I think the surgery he had is a monster undertaking, if that is going to be the case. I think he is going to be behind the eight ball as far as getting a chance to get back out and play, but continue to rehab and try to get as much of that money that the Packers owe him, where I know fans are going to be irritated, but that's the reality. That's business. Ask Devondre Campbell. You cut him when he had a bunch of money left on his deal. And you know what? Nobody's saying, well, they should pay him that. This is one of those little precautions that players have, and he should utilize it to whatever degree he can.
Boy, Bulaga was really fired up about Devondre Campbell. I did the Homer Hour with him and Homer last night. He's really fired up about that. We'll have to talk to him about that further tomorrow. It was good stuff. He was
like
very
that.
Good. Speaking of very, very, very good, tomorrow not only will Brian Bulaga join our show, but Gina Della is coming to my house along with her crew to look at my window. I'm very excited about that.
Special you to have Gina on a house call. She's the GOAT. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin is the GOAT. And if you've been waiting to replace those broken windows or doors, or if you just want to revitalize your home with a new look, now is the time to get it done. Because from now until March 31st, 0% interest for 3 years with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. That's right, Pella now and pay later. 3 years later, in fact. Order by March 31st, get 0% interest for up to 3 years. Set your free consultation today at PellaWI.com. Certain restrictions do apply.
More from our David Bakhtiari interview next. It's Wildy and Tausch.